Hey boo, let's chat. I'm your host, Michelle Joe. Welcome to another episode of Deep Waters and Sunflowers, a podcast about more than just self-love. So, this might be a little late, but we're still posting it. Last month in February, it was all about love, and this episode was no different. I'm joined by an amazing guest who you'll meet pretty soon, and we just had a very open conversation about love as it relates to family, as it relates to relationships, and it was just multi-layered. So I hope that you enjoy today's episode. Grab whatever you're sipping on, wine, coffee, tea, get comfy, get cozy, or if you're driving or at work, take a listen. But most of all, I hope that you enjoy. Hey boo, hey. So let's chat. This month on the podcast is all about love, you know, February, Valentine's Day. But it's not just about self-love. It's about every type of love, romantic love, friendship, whatever. And I wanted to invite some really amazing ladies onto the show and for us to just have candid conversations about our experiences with love, our views of love, how they've changed through the years. And I think that it would be really great for us to just have some really candid, open conversations. So I brought someone who is not a stranger to this show. The last time that we had a conversation, it was absolutely amazing. And it just went in so many different directions. And I just love her openness. And I just love her unfilteredness too. She gives me that vibe and I love it. So please welcome the beautiful, the talented, the amazing Miss April.
Well, hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I swear, every time you do an intro, I'm like, me? Is it me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because you're just that amazing. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me back.
Of course.
I was so surprised when you wanted to have me back. I'm like, again, me? It's always a shock, but I'm ever so grateful. So thank you.
Thank you for coming back. That is, I definitely appreciate that. But go ahead, tell the people who you are. Share whatever you want to share. The floor is yours.
Okay, let's see. April Nicole, former podcaster. So I had a dating podcast. That is how we met. Mm-hmm. It was called Dating While Black, but it is now defunct. I am a marketer by day. I am also an avid art collector and art advisor by night. Mm-hmm. I also have a athleisure line. So I have a lot of different things going on.
You do. You do. You are definitely a woman that wears many hats, but it's really dope. It's dope to like see and to witness. And I love your athleisure line. The placebo collection.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
You know, us thick girls.
listen.
Us thick girls.
Tell you. Can we get something cute to wear? And can we get something that's gonna hold us in, support us in all areas, smooth things out, all of that.
Please. And something that for us girls who have, you know, we stacked in the back.
Yeah,
you know, that part in the back, that can it please cover, you know, and
yeah.
Up. So I love it. Congrats on everything. Can't wait
Thank
to see
you.
What you do this year.
Thanks.
So I want to do a little icebreaker before we jump in. And I want to know, what are your top three love songs?
Top three love songs. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we are going to call them love songs, or maybe we could, because you know what, we're going to talk about love. Mm-hmm. And I really want to talk about redefining how we look at love.
Mm-hmm.
So Diana Ross, I'm Coming Out.
I love that one.
That is like the song that I play in my head whenever I am feeling like I am not enough, if I'm going mm-hmm. in a situation where I'm uncomfortable, I'm nervous. It's always Diana Ross, I'm Coming Out. Another love song. Let's see. Donny Hathaway, A Song for You. Although it's not really like a love song.
But it can be.
It can be. And then, oh my gosh, my favorite of all time, Coltrane. What is the name of the song? I'm like listening to it in my head.
Go ahead and sing first.
Don't know. First of all, it is all instrumental. So there's that. Gosh, it was in Love Jones. For the
life of my favorite movies.
I cannot remember the name of the song, but John Coltrane, and it is in a sentimental mood. So listen, that song is like the I'm with the love of my life. Wake up on a lazy Saturday morning or a lazy Sunday morning, and we are having breakfast, mimosas, chilling in bed. Like, that is that song for me.
I'm gonna have to go look at it. Granted, Love Jones is like one of my favorite movies.
I've never seen it. Take my black card. You can have it. I know.
Why?
Love Jones, but I've never seen it.
You're not interested?
I guess not. But okay. I mean, that's an honest question, and I guess the honest answer is like, no, I'm not that interested. I've never been like a real rom-com girl, and we have to understand that when Love Jones came out, we were kids.
Girl, yes.
So I didn't see it as a child, and then as I got older, it's just one of those things that I never got a chance to see. It's like this Generation X, who were like, they didn't know that Mariah Carey and what's her name, Big Lotto, had the same, like, I was like, how do you not know
she sampled that song?
Yeah, but they don't know because they've never heard it. And if your parents didn't introduce it to you,
this is true,
then it would be difficult for you to hear it unless you searched it out. So Love Jones, I was a child, completely inappropriate at the time.
Really? And
I got older, I just didn't search it out.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Because I'm not going to tell you the movie that I have to see. Because I'm pretty sure every black person will be like, what's wrong with you?
Don't try me. Let's see. What is it?
It's not a wrong.
Okay.
But it is The Color Purple.
Oh, girl. Girl.
Because I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never sat through the entire movie.
You get yourself a cold winter day, you and your mom get together, and y'all have like a mother-daughter day, invite your sister, and y'all sit down and watch The Color Purple.
Yeah.
Because, yes.
She said, oh girl.
It is very necessary.
No, I know, but I've seen some clips. So, you know, I feel like I'm a little invested. All right. So love that. So my first question, because like I said, I really want to dive into love and what it means. Because I feel like, you know, I know for me personally, the older I get, and even just through self-love, healing and all that good stuff, how I define love for myself and from others changes. And it's constantly evolving. So in regards to just love in general, how would you say you originally viewed or defined love? And now that as you've gotten older, had life experience, how has that view or definition evolved for you?
I think the evolution of love for me from childhood and familial love to that first romantic love to friendship love, from being a child, teenage years, 20s to now, I think it was selfish as a child, because you don't really have to give anything as a child. Everything is just take. Yeah. So it was selfish as a child. And then teen, 20s, it was self-centered. So, which is different from selfish, although people get them confused.
Right.
So it was self-centered. I was only thinking about myself. What was I getting? What was I receiving? How was I going to benefit? Not that I wasn't giving, but my first focus was self.
Right.
And now love looks different. And again, the different types of love, it still brings me back to being a giver. So like, how am I giving? How am I leaving something of value? That's really important. When I think about familial love, I don't just think about my immediate family now. I'm more so thinking like legacy, like how are we giving back to this legacy? Like, what am I doing that's going to push forth the women that come after me, the women that I never meet.
Right.
So two generations behind, I mean, God willing, we suffer. Earth.
Right.
Two generations behind, what am I doing to change the trajectory of their lives?
Right.
So, and to me, that is love. That's where I'm at right now. Just very much so in a giving space.
Yeah. I love that. And like you said, I love when you said, like, especially when you're younger, love doesn't necessarily, you don't look at it from a view of necessarily giving. Like, it's very much so self-centered. Because I know for me growing up, it was more so, like you said, I was looking for, my love will only go as far as what you give to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to love you based on how you love me and how I feel that you love me. It's not, I didn't necessarily, Lord knows, I definitely didn't get into unconditional love.
I don't even know if unconditional love is a thing.
Right.
Like, that needs to be scrapped.
You know, and the older that I got, the more that I really started to think like, there's always going to be some sort of condition. How can I really say like, oh, I love you unconditionally. Like, no, there's always a condition.
Even if that condition is, I love you from afar.
Right.
There are always conditions.
Right.
So yeah, unconditionally is, who are you, Jesus?
Right.
Yeah. I don't love nobody unconditionally.
Right. And it's crazy because it's just like too, and maybe just especially, you know, as women, I can only speak for myself growing up, feeling as if the extension of which you're willing to go to some with someone, or how much you give of yourself, or even sometimes how much you sacrifice yourself, is kind of where you're scaled in regards to how much you love someone. And it wasn't really until I started to come into self-love, and Jesus Christ, self-love for me defined at 20 something versus 32. I didn't even know where to begin or like what that even looks like.
Or like you think that you know what self-love is, but you don't really know.
And yeah.
You think you do, just like you think you know a whole lot of things in your 20s. And then you get to your 30s and you're like, oh, wow, I was really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think one of the things my mom would always say, my grandma would say to my mom, it's crazy now because I say it all the time, but it's like, just keep living. And it was something that was so simple, but it was more so just about the wisdom that comes along with living. And I think that ties back into love, like how you view love, how you view self-love, all of that, because you've had more time to live, more time to experience life. So it is going to change and evolve and hopefully grow.
Absolutely. You know, that's definitely supposed to be the objective. Of it all. And even like, you know, there's so many different conversations as well surrounding, because I have a question in regards to Black love specifically. And because I feel like when it comes to Black love, do we see like the healthy example of what Black love truly is?
Oh no, I'm losing you. I'm so upset about this.
Wait, okay, you're back. Okay. Y'all scratch that. Okay. We had a little freeze, but we're still going on.
Yeah.
Because me and my friend, we talked about this and we were talking about how, what love was to like our grandparents, and even our parents, how, you know, a lot of the times, regardless of what the husband was doing or what was going on within their marriage, they just kind of stayed. And I know that for me, the narrative of, oh, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to go through things, but you know, you can get through it. Just stick it out. You know, it'll be worth it, blah, blah, blah. So my question was,
I'm just like,
girl, when it comes to what are some things, when it comes to Black love, for one, do you believe the healthy side of Black love is showcased enough?
Okay, so let's roll this back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to speak from the space that I am in right now in this moment. And I'm not going to speak from a space where I could potentially be in the future.
Yeah.
Or where I was in the past. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening, this could change because life is fluid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Black love is not necessarily something that I am wholeheartedly subscribing to right now at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I have anything against Black men. I know a lot of times there are Black women who have like this chip on their shoulder, they've been hurt and they carry it around like a badge of honor. That's not where I am.
Yeah.
I just know that I am interested in something that's very niche from a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is so rare and so niche, I have decided to open up my options.
Yeah.
With dating outside of my race. Now mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that at the end of the day, I may not end up with a Black man, because I very well might.
Right.
But I'm also not going to limit myself. So there's that with Black love for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the examples of Black love and if they're positive or negative, I honestly think, man, I'm gonna get some flack for this one too. I honestly think it is through your purview. Like, we see the things that we want to see according to what our beliefs are. Yes. So if I have been going through a tumultuous time with this Black man, and every Black man that I know I've ever known has always been a cheater or a liar or whatever, a user, anything, he's been a narcissist, then I will be like, oh, well, all the examples of love that we see are women who are just sticking by these men who do them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have a view that's like, you know what, I had amazing Black men in my life, even the ones that I've dated, if it didn't work out, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything against them, or I don't have anything against love, then you will look at it through that view.
Yeah. So
it's kind of like if someone tells you, look at all the red things in the room, suddenly you start counting all the red things because you're noticing them more because someone told you to look at them. Right. Not that they weren't always there. They were always there, but you weren't looking for them. So yeah. If I'm looking for the bad in Black love, then that's what I'm gonna see. If I'm looking for the good in it, that's what I'm gonna see. I don't really have like this negative connotation with Black love. So mm-hmm. I feel like I see it all the time. Like, my best friend is engaged. Gosh, another one of my friends is engaged. She's also like starting this amazing like wedding business.
Love it.
I see people in healthy relationships. I mean, I also see some people that aren't taking accountability for the choices that they're making. I see people sticking it out with their spouses when things get hard. So I just don't know if my view, or even when I get on like TikTok or something, or Instagram, I'm always seeing like couples that appear to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, are happy, but what they're giving is like happy Black love.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we need to change what we're seeing, because I feel like I see it in a positive light.
Right. And I love that answer too, because to be honest with you, I feel like at the end of the day, like you said, we only get a snapshot of these things anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, regardless of what someone's situation may be, or why somebody decides to stay, or whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
that has no bearing on my personal, you know, interactions or my personal standings with love. The only thing that matters is what I'm doing with it and how I'm operating in it. you know, but sometimes I always see like these conversations, like always going around, like, you know, Black men talking about Black women and things like that and vice versa. And it's just like, at the end of the day, for one, I think, at what point do we get tired of just constantly having the same conversations over and over again?
That's why we stopped the podcast. That's why I stopped doing Dating While Black, because I was tired of talking about dating. Yeah. I was tired of putting Black men in a space where I didn't think that they were being edified the way that they should be. I was tired of looking at Black women as though they were doing something wrong, so they didn't deserve love, or being told that they were doing something wrong, so they weren't deserving of it, or because right. they've made certain decisions in their lives, they're not deserving of it. So because you have children, you're no longer deserving of love, so on and so forth. It was just so exhausting. I was like, y'all can have it. Y'all can have it. So, I mean, I get it. And I don't know when those conversations end. I don't think that they do end.
They don't.
That, yeah, this is something that the previous generation talked about before us, and the one before that, and the one before that. So it just is. As long as we are people that cohabitate and decide to do life together, then it will always be a conversation.
Exactly. And also going back to where you said that you were open to the possibilities of your partner not being Black.
Yes. Okay.
That is a whole conversation.
It is.
All within itself.
It is. Okay, let's go. Should I start, or do you have a question?
How did you come to, or for one, has that always been an option for you?
I think deep down it has always been an option. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a window of time, I want to say maybe in my early 30s, I'm in my mid 30s now. There was a window of time in my early 30s where I was just like, no, I don't want to have to explain to him why my leave out can't get wet. Like, I was very much in that space. But the way that I have grown up, we've always grown up in situations where, and I say we because I'm speaking of just like me and my siblings, mm-hmm. we're always like first, only, other. So mm-hmm. the people that we were surrounded around when we went to school, we grew up in white neighborhoods because my parents thought that taking us out of certain neighborhoods would ensure, I guess, a better upbringing, which right. we all know is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And it comes with its own set of problems. That's a conversation for another day. Mm-hmm. But we were usually surrounded around children that were not Black.
Yeah.
So I had to seek out Black friends. My parents did a good job of making sure that we still have Black friends, and we had a very Black, culturally African-American upbringing, because I think there's so many different aspects of the diaspora. We can't just say, okay, all Black is the same, because it's not.
Right.
But I think the African-American or the American descendants of slaves, if we can all woke.
Right.
That culture is very specific, and very different. And like, we had that, but again, we still have this whole other side where, you know, I did have white friends growing up. I had mm-hmm. white friends in high school. I had white friends in college. Hell, my first set of roommates were white.
Yeah.
So it would not have been that far off. I don't think it would have been a stretch for my family either.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying I've returned to that. I'm just kind of like, I'm leaving it open.
Yeah.
It's still gotta be a certain kind of like, and I'm not even gonna say white guy, because it could be, I mean, he could be any race, but
yeah, you
have a certain kind of other
too. Yeah, of course.
Be of any course. Other. It's got to be a certain other. So there's that.
No, I completely, completely agree, because, you know, I grew up in Atlanta, but when I moved to Florida, mm-hmm. for one, I didn't know that any other race was really interested in me mm-hmm. until I moved to Florida, mm-hmm. because I was just always around Black people, and that's kind of all that I knew. And
so it's like the opposite.
Right. Right. And so when I was open to the simple fact of, well, for one, I always heard like the whole more women for men ratio. I heard that so young. Really? And so in my mind, I was just like, shoot, there's a shortage of Black men anyway, they say. So I need to date out of my race. Like, I have to be open to dating out of my race. And even when I did, more so when I dated specifically a white guy, because I primarily would date like Spanish guys, that's when I would receive a lot of, you know, people kind of raising their eyebrows when I was dating a white guy. And I felt even me at times, granted, so, I was so young.
You're self-conscious.
You're
more self-aware of it. So yeah, I get that.
Cause it's just like people make you feel like you stick out like a sore thumb, kind of, sort of. But I personally just feel like at the end of the day, as long as you get someone who is at least willing to understand you and even just where you come from, who's not oblivious to, not one of those people like, oh, I don't see color, you know, or anything like that. I feel like being open to the possibility of love and in different forms is okay. Cause I mean, I know for me, you know, coming out, quote unquote, as I do air quotations, to be honest with you, I don't think I could fully say, oh, I can see myself being with a woman long-term. Like, I can see myself growing old with a woman. And it's just like, you never know
life
as how love and how life is going to evolve, because I didn't see it.
Listen, I will tell any and everyone, and if I have to take one thing with me to the grave, this is what I will say. Life happens in the gray area. You cannot be so black and white that you miss out on the beauty, the miracle of living. And that happens in the gray area. That happens when you're not so stuck to one side or the other,
right,
that you can't be flexible.
Right.
So you living in the gray area has given you something that maybe you didn't think was possible, but you are completely loving it. You're happy with where you are. And again, that's the beauty and the blessing of living like in the gray area.
Right.
And allowing yourself the space of the gray area.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Like that was a big one for me. Like, what? Like, I gotta tell my family. Cause like when I told my family, Lord knows
how did
everybody
that go?
Was
How did that go?
Coming out to my family, my sister, my siblings were completely supportive. My friends, supportive. Granted, my parents, they're very religious, or they were very religious. So it was definitely a big surprise to them. And they took it in a way like, you know, kind of what did we do wrong? Type of way. And I had to explain to them that, listen, I am still the same Michelle. Like, my personal preference of who I love and who I decide to be with has no bearing on your parenting. But I'm the same person. The person that I may end up with or will ultimately be with just looks different from what you thought I would be with. Mm-hmm. And even now, because to be honest with you, girl, I was thinking about this earlier, going from just me speaking from my dating experience, mm-hmm. going from men who are either overly emotional or emotionally unavailable, mm-hmm. and going to women and putting my emotions on top of their emotions was really like a lot to take in.
Listen, I could not even imagine.
Like, I was just like, whoa, like,
mm-hmm.
you have emotions, I have emotions. How are we maneuvering through this?
Yeah.
Me maneuvering, just even coming out in my 30s and mm-hmm. trying to figure out like what I like, what I don't like. Like, there was just so much going on mentally. And honestly, it was a lot to take in.
But I mean, that's any transformation, or not even transformation, because that's not the right word. I think it's any transition.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's a transition in your relationships, if it's a transition in career, if you move to a different part of the country, there's like a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And so you figure out what it is and you adjust and you pivot and you move forward.
Yeah.
Because what you gonna do, stop living?
No, no. But I think too, I learned to just give myself the grace to understand, like, I've never been here before. We've never been here before. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to learn as you go. But also being with someone who is able to walk through that with you, who knows, like, oh, she's never been here before. I might have like years in the game and she only has weeks in the game, you know?
But that is something that should be a staple in any relationship.
Absolutely.
And again, not even just romantic relationships, familial relationships, friendships. I think this past year has just been, 2021 was so just devastating for me.
Yeah.
With the loss of my mother and just like trying to figure out what does life look like now. And I had to tell a lot of the people that I had relationships with, again, familial, friendship, romantic, like, I've never been here before.
Yeah.
I don't know what this looks like. Can you extend some grace?
Yeah.
When you are in a new relationship with someone, a new romantic relationship, you're learning each other and you will have to ask for some grace and be comfortable extending grace at the very beginning as you guys learn each other.
Absolutely.
And learn, like, this new person might bring along some triggers that you didn't even know you had. And now you have to allow yourself like the time to figure out how to navigate that too. And like, all right, how do we move forward with this without this being like completely detrimental to this relationship? We don't want to self-combust. So how do we move forward?
Right.
Grace. Right. Grace, grace, grace.
Right. And it, you know, it's crazy because I was talking to someone that I'm dating, and you know, we were talking about the importance of creating space for each other. And you know, we were talking about it in any relationship in life, just the importance of creating space. Because I know I asked her a question. I was just like, so what are some things that you have continued to hear from people that you've dated, people that you've been in relationships with? What are some things that you've heard that you can now look back and kind of agree with and say, yeah, you know, they were right? And I have three things that I have consistently heard from people that I've dated or been in a relationship with. And one thing for me was really big was I can be emotionally impulsive when I feel overly criticized or when I'm just on the defense. And I told her, I was just like, now that I can take a step back, I've always asked people to give me security, or I've always looked for security from people. And I said, but yet when I was emotionally impulsive with people, I was taking that security from them. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I was just like, you know, one thing that I'm learning to do now is that when I feel that fear or I feel that anxiety, coming to her and saying, hey, I'm feeling like I want to run. I feel like I want to just back up from you, and allowing her to kind of guide me through whatever it is. So when you say, like, basically asking for mm-hmm. what you need or just making it known, like, that's huge. And I think that could really dispel so many things if we just ask for what we need, and even just explaining to people where we are.
So here's the thing with that. That requires a level of self-awareness that a lot of people don't have.
Oh, yeah.
So I agree with you. I am in the same boat. It is something that I practice regularly in my relationships. Like, hey, I'm feeling a little insecure at this moment, and this is why. Maybe it has something to do with you. Maybe it has nothing to do with you at all.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where I am. Mm-hmm. But that has come with years of therapy, a lot of growth, and again, self-awareness.
Right. Because I was going to ask you, how did you get to that point of being self-aware?
I don't know. You know, it's like any other kind of growth. Like when you're a child and you're growing and you're getting taller, you don't feel yourself growing and getting taller. You just look up one day and you're like, oh, damn, I'm taller than all the boys. And
right.
Whatever grade. And then suddenly the boys get taller than you because, again, we're all growing. And we're growing at different rates. And that happens in adulthood too. So I can't pinpoint exactly when it happened. I know that it was definitely in my 30s. Something clicked in my 30s. But this growth has just, like, this change has been happening for so long that I wish I could say, okay, September 21st, 2019 is when it happened. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I get it, because I know, like, I was talking to someone at some point, someone from my past, and was kind of telling them, you know, there's some things that I've realized about myself, and they're just like, wait a minute, how come you couldn't realize this, like, back then? And I'm like, listen, sometimes you're in different places and spaces in your life, and sometimes it takes lifetime, days, whatever, to really come full circle and to see, like, oh, wow, like, I see now, like, why I've been doing this. Because for me, it was just like, okay, I finally got to the point where I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I reacting and responding this way? Like, what's up, girl? What are we doing? So I love that you said that. That really takes a level of self-awareness, because you're absolutely 100% right.
Now, here's, like, the flip side for that. You may have some people in your life, and I'm going to use parents because I just feel like it's the best example, where they may never become self-aware, and you might be holding on to some anger, some things that have happened in your childhood, and you're still upset about it because you are like, well, I don't understand why you don't see that this is, like, unhealthy, mm-hmm. or this is traumatic or whatever. Everybody is not going to reach that full circle that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay too. And with our parents, because again, that's a whole different subject too.
Yes.
That could be a pop in and of itself. But when it comes to our parents, sometimes they didn't know how to do certain things. They weren't equipped with certain tools.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have learned as life has gone on, but some of them have not, because of whatever reason. They right. could have been in survival mode. They could have been doing whatever. The process of becoming healthy, like an emotionally healthy person, is a taxing process. And it is a process that may not always be able to be done when you have children that mm-hmm. you have to take care of, when you have a household that you have to run, when you have maybe two jobs that you have to go to. Like, emotional well-being is just not high on the list.
Right.
And I'm not saying that makes it okay, but again, sometimes we have to extend grace to others who may not be in a place of, like, self-awareness.
Mm, I love this, because I think grace is a very essential part of loving in any form or facet, or any relationship that we have, you know, in our lives. So, really simple question for you.
Right.
How do you define self-love at this stage in your life?
I think I'm in such a transitional place in my life. Again, last year was completely just tossed everything upside down. So right now for me, self-love looks like confidence.
Mm.
It looks like being, like, sure of myself. I've been so unsure of so many things that have been happening in the past year that for me, self-love is being confident, knowing that I can walk into whatever situation I'm going into and it's going to be okay.
Right.
Knowing that although things change, I am really great at pivoting. So I will pivot and I will be okay, because I want to know that I'm going to be okay. Like, that's a fear. So self-love is that confidence, that assurity, like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
The world will change. Things will happen. Change is the only constant in life. But you know what? You will keep waking up, God willing. You will keep waking up every day with the sun, and you will move forward.
Mm, I love that. I absolutely love that. So as we wrap up our conversation, because I feel like this has definitely been, like, an open conversation. I love that it wasn't just about one specific thing, It kind of bounced from this to that. What do you have any closing remarks? Any closing advice or words to give?
I would encourage us to reimagine what love looks like. So I was having this conversation with one of the artists that I work with, mm-hmm. and he is struggling trying to portray familial love.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that he loves families. He knows that he loves Black families, but he can't quite figure out how to get that love from theory to on the canvas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been struggling with it, and as I am helping him develop his artistry, and not necessarily the actual artistry, because I'd be playing in paint, but I don't really paint. not necessarily that, but just understanding how to get himself from ideation, the idea, to completion.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's been struggling, I've been struggling, because we are doing this together.
Right.
And last weekend, I had my niece and my nephew over, and we were just doing niece and nephew things.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as a cool auntie.
Oh, that's right, girl.
Kids woke up Sunday. Their mom was supposed to come and get them Saturday, but she didn't. So Sunday morning, y'all still here, and they're looking for food. And I'm like, oh, you know what? All right. So my nephew's like, oh, these pancakes look good. Baby, the pancakes are in a box. What you mean they look good? You can't. Right. The pancakes are in a box. They need to be cooked. And so I was like, you know what? All right, gone ahead, go back upstairs, do whatever you were doing. I am going to make breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I, at the last minute, and you have to remember, as a single woman, I don't typically do this. So yeah. I'm like, all right, well, let's get some pancakes together. So I started mixing up the mix. And then I'm like, all right, I know the kids want eggs. Let's get some grits going. So I'm cooking up the grits and everything else. And I laid out the spread for them. Pancakes, big stack of pancakes on the plate, warmed up some syrup, melted some butter. We got the eggs on the other side. We ain't had no bacon because I ate all the bacon the day before, but that's okay. So I put all the food out and big like spread, and like, here, you guys serve yourselves, help yourselves. And in that moment, I said, this is love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is an act.
Right.
At this point in my life, for me. So love looks like making breakfast for the kids. And that's completely outside of my purview, because I don't do that. Girl, I have a bottle of champagne for breakfast and call it a day. Like, are you having champagne for breakfast? No, I'm just having champagne.
Right.
No orange juice. You can keep that. That's for the weak links. Not me. I'm having champagne. But making breakfast for the kids, that is love. I am in my parents' home right now as we continue to transition and figure out what life looks like without my mother. And last week I looked at the floors and I'm like, damn, if my mom was here, she'd be pissed off right now.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't really like swept and mopped and stuff. And I know if she was here, she'd be like, why y'all keeping up my stuff? So me keeping up her home in the way that she would want it to be kept is an act of love, and it's a way to honor her legacy.
Nice.
So at this space, love is an act, and it is at times selfless.
Yeah.
And I did not understand that until I went through everything that I went through last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's just for me, and for someone else, love may look completely different. But I encourage everyone to re-examine what they think love looks like, because the love your parents had may not necessarily be the love that you and your partner has.
Right.
We're in a different time. We're in a different space. We're different people. We may not be operating in the same mental capacity that our parents were operating in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I like to say our parents were in survival mode. And we have the luxury to not be in survival mode, not all of us, but some of us. But even if you are financially just making ends meet, still mentally we're not in survival
mode. Right.
So our parents very much were just trying to like get ahead. We're trying to, you know, make sure that our kids go to different schools so they don't have the same upbringing that we did, whatever it may be. So maybe not make your or base your assumptions on love on what you've seen and allow yourself to be open to new levels of love or new views of love. It can look different.
Right.
So, yeah. That was a lot. And I'm sure it was not like succinct, but yeah.
No, girl, that was perfect. I was about to say mic drop. Just drop the mic right there. But I think that was beautiful. And I know that it'll just definitely resonate with, you know, people out there who are listening. So thank you for that. Before we go again, thank you so much for being open to having this conversation. I love our chats and our moments. But, you know, tell people where they can find you if they want to locate you, if you want them to locate you.
Honestly, I don't want you to locate me because what are we even talking about? I don't have a podcast anymore. I don't feel like I'm doing anything super special. But if you are looking for athleisure, then you can find that on Instagram or Facebook at Placebo Collection, placebocollection.com. If you are looking for art, you're interested in maybe collecting art, but you don't know where to start, I am more than happy to help new collectors that are especially looking to invest. The return on art is crazy right now, but we ain't gonna go into all of that. It's a great way to make a lot of money or ensure some generational wealth, as people like to say. So if you're interested in collecting, you can find me at Placebo Art Collective. That's on Instagram. The website is placeboartcollective.com. And I mean, I guess if you just want to follow me, I haven't been really like posting a lot. I've really been taking some time to just kind of work on me with me. Good. So I haven't been as entertaining as I was, but just April Nicole on Instagram. You can find me there. And yeah.
I love it. I love it. Guys, follow April. Make sure you support her. She has so many great things going on. I love when she reposts art. And I've seen a picture that she posted a while ago.
To you.
You do. You do. I do. But you know what? I was like in her own timing.
Grace, I appreciate
it. Yes, I was like in her own timing. I put it out there, but it's all good. But no, it's all good. It was really, really dope. And I can't wait to get it. But guys, it's been a beautiful conversation with the beautiful April talking about love. Follow her, support her, and check back next week for another episode. Again, we're talking about love all month long, and we will chat another time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay.
Hey, boo, hey. I hope that you enjoyed this episode just as much as April and I enjoyed recording it. I hope that you got something out of it. If you did, share it with everybody that you know. But most importantly, we're pushing to be number one in self-care, self-love for women of color, for Black women. So I need your help. I need you to rate, I need you to comment, and I need you to share. And I truly appreciate it from the tip top of my heart. So again, support, 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 like, comment, share, post it, put it everywhere. But I hope that you have an amazing, amazing day. And until next time, sending lots of love and light.